Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Stripe Tap to Pay on iPhone came along and changed everything. With Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. No more juggling different methods. Just a simple tap on my iPhone and transactions are complete. What's truly remarkable is how Stripe caters to all my customers' preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Stripe ensures a smooth checkout experience every time. Setting up Stripe was a breeze, taking just minutes to get up and running. From local markets to global retailers, Stripe helped me expand my reach and grow my business with ease. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Hey, thanks to everybody who supports Daily Tech News Show directly. To find out the benefits, head to dailytechnewsshow.com/support. This is the Daily Tech News for Thursday, September 20th. My anniversary. Happy anniversary, wife. 2018 in Los Angeles. I'm Tom Arrett.
And from Studio Feline, I'm Sarah Lane.
And from Oakland, California, I'm Justin Robert Young.
And I'm Roger from somewhere in LA County.
Hello, Roger from somewhere in LA County.
Hello,
and the rest
everyone.
Of our audience. thank you for joining the Daily Amazon News Show. We'll be talking nothing but Amazon, as Amazon announced approximately 500,000 products today in just about an hour. I mean, they didn't take long to do it, but they just, it was rapid fire. Boom, boom, boom.
Well, if there's one thing, you can be very excited about that. That's always your bugaboo.
Right. Yeah, no, if they had to announce this many products, which I'm not sure they did, at least they did it fast. So I'll give them that. Let's start with a few tech things you should know. I'll play that.
As Tom just mentioned, Amazon announced a big pile, and I mean big, of new gadgets and voice assistance features Thursday. We will run through all the new Echoes and a clock and a microwave a little later in the show.
Sony Interactive Entertainment SVP Hiroyuki Oda said that the company will stop production of its PS Vita in Japan in 2019. Sony has no plans for a successor to the Vita. He did mention that other countries... but most markets sell Vitas made in Japan.
He did not mention.
Other
countries.
Mention it.
Yeah. GoPro announced its Hero 7 line of cameras going on sale September 27th. The Hero 7 White is $199 and the least dangerous of the GoPros. Can do 1440p video at 60 frames per second. The Silver version is $299 with 4K at 30 frames per second and GPS. And the Hero 7 Black has all of that for $399 and can do 4K at 60 frames per second, adds in super slow-mo and live streaming capability as well. It also introduced an improved image stabilization feature called Hyper Smooth. It's what I tried to be in junior high. Never succeeded it. All right, let's talk a little more about insurance, Justin.
Ah, yes. The exciting world of life insurance. John Hancock announced that it will no longer underwrite traditional life insurance, instead selling interactive policies that track fitness and health data through wearable devices. Hancock introduced the interactive policies in 2015. It is an established product in Britain and South Africa and gaining popularity in the United States. The policies can offer discounts for hitting exercise targets and gift cards for logging data.
How much does this affect people? Because I don't know how many people actually have life insurance independently like this, right? Where you go to John Hancock. I know a lot of people do, but I'm curious because my first thought, the reason I asked this, is that's kind of a burden. Like, oh, if you want life insurance, you're going to have to shell out some money for a tracker.
Well, and it's also John Hancock saying, all right, you got life insurance. Like, why are you getting it? Are you being cautious or is there something wrong with you? And if we can track more data that is, it, you know, more and more being established to be accurate that we can use to figure out whether or not we want to give you a life insurance policy, I don't blame the company for doing so, but it is, it's a whole privacy conversation as well.
I would hasten to clarify, in case someone gets the wrong idea, it's not about getting the life insurance policy. You can't be turned down because you didn't wear a tracker in the past. This is about giving you deductions and perks for wearing the tracker while you're doing the life insurance. So you kind of have to wear it after you get it. You can't be turned down for not having one, but you're going to have it to keep going with it. The idea being it will keep you healthier if you have a tracker. That's what they found. It encourages to be healthier.
And this is John Hancock trying to incentivize and keep good bets. All insurance kind of boils down to whether or not you are going to be paying in more than you are taking out. But for life insurance specifically, it's a little bit less of a immediate, how is this going to affect my life kind of thing, because you're worrying about the future. You're worrying about your family and who you're going to leave behind. So what they want to do is say, hey, look, we like the people that are wearing wearables, that are at the gym, that we can verify through this fairly easy process are doing it. And therefore, we can make it a little bit less expensive for you or give you some kind of incentive to say, okay, we'll keep doing this because that means you're going to stay alive longer, which means you're going to pay us more, which means we're okay with paying out your life insurance when you die.
Nobody wants you to stay alive more than a life insurance company.
Yes.
Well, okay. So what happens when you lose your smartwatch that's tracking all the things that John Hancock says is going to give you perks? What do your deductions look like?
Yeah, well, I don't know if you could lose your policy if you stopped wearing it. That's a good question. I'd like to know that. If anybody in the insurance business knows how these things work a little better, let us know. But yeah, you're going to lose your deductions.
This is more carrot than stick, I think. They just want people to feel a benefit.
They should just be giving the trackers to people and saying, like, if you want a more expensive one, great, but you get at least a basic Fitbit if you do this.
This is all about making you a better statistic on the actuarial table that they compute every year to make sure that they're not insolvent.
Instagram announced users can now use GIFs using Giphy into their Instagram direct messages. Oh, happy day. Starting today, Instagram Direct will also have a GIF button on the composition bar. So if you click on it, you'll get trending GIFs where you can hit random. People who use Giphy within Slack are already familiar with this. For whatever Giphy thinks you probably want based on the keyword. Instagram already offers this in its toolkit for story stickers. So more of a GIF rollout on the Instagram platform. Who's excited?
Me.
Are you?
I'm glad that Instagram is more GIF friendly.
Sure.
I don't know exactly how much I want to use it in my direct messages.
How many Chappelle Show GIFs do they have? That's a
It's sort of like, how much do you want to use emojis in your direct messages? It comes up once in a while. This is a nice feature.
I'm sure I will use it. I hope it leads to Instagram being more GIF friendly for not only posts in your main feed, but also in your stories and stuff like that. I want Instagram to continue to be more GIF friendly.
I need to use them more. I know how to properly use a GIF, and I know how to properly say GIF, but I don't use them often enough. I'm just trying to. There's a faction out that needs to be addressed. There's a GIF faction. I try to throw them a bone every once in a while.
Fine.
Okay, it's the balance of the show. But yeah, I don't use them in a way that this is going to change my behavior much. Maybe it will. I doubt it though.
Nah, it's lovely. GIF friendly people. I'm a big fan of Giphy in particular platforms that have it integrated well. I mentioned Slack before. Use it all the time in Slack. It's very funny.
Yes.
In a stories feature / DM feature, great. It's not going to revolutionize your Instagram experience, but if it can help you express yourself to people without using actual words, I'm not mad at you.
I'd like you to send me a GIF that explains that, though.
I will do that after the show.
Thanks. Facebook launched a test of its dating feature in its mobile app in Colombia. Facebook Dating uses what it knows about you to suggest matches from people who have chosen to be listed. Facebook bent over backwards to point out you have to opt in. It's separate from Facebook Messenger. It's separate from your Facebook profile. We're trying to do it right. The default doesn't show friends. You can't see your friends in this. And you can even choose to exclude friends of friends if that's even a little bit too close to home. Users can express interest in up to 100 people per day. There is a max. And there are no plans at this time to monetize it. They just want to see if it works in Colombia. And if it does, they plan to roll it out to the rest of the world.
Hot nights in Bogota.
Caliente.
Well, it's, yeah, I know this is a limited testing slash rollout, and we've talked about the idea of Facebook introducing dating on its platform in the past. It's interesting that Facebook's like, listen, we know you might not want to be matched with friends or even friends of friends, because that's awkward, even though most dating apps actually use Facebook as the repository to figure out who your friends are and who your friends of friends are in order to match you with those people. So it's almost like the opposite of like Facebook saying, this might be sort of an underground thing you might want to do. Don't worry. We're not going to make it weird for you. And even though it's sort of the antithesis of what a lot of dating apps already do.
Yeah. Regarding the hot nights in Bogota, Justin, they're also saying we don't want to be a hookup app. We're doing things to actually get in the way of that and try to foster people who want longer term relationships.
Right. Because everyone knows if you meet a friend of a friend, it's a hookup app.
Yeah.
So gotta get that out of there and meet a stranger.
Look, Hinge is already a very popular dating app that uses Facebook data. There is obviously a market there for people who want to use the data that they already enter into social media to make this obviously a comically ridiculous and painful process for some a little bit easier and more successful. So I think that it's there. Really, my biggest thing is that just make a Hinge clone. Make a better Hinge clone that is powered, that is more explicitly powered by Facebook. I just don't know. Facebook is such a overloaded brand with so much kind of tied to it. I really do wonder whether or not this would be something that if you gave it even the patina of a different name, that it looks a little bit like a different product, if it wouldn't be something that people wouldn't jump all over immediately.
You say that, but if we've learned nothing from the whole election snafu over Facebook and privacy violations and Cambridge Analytica, it's that Facebook can kind of do everything and people will still use it. So this is the right thing to do. Like, yeah, sure. Some people won't be attracted to it because it's called Facebook dating, but that won't be the most majority.
Maybe. I don't know. I think people already are volunteering their data to date with. So it seems like it works. So whether or not it works as a Facebook feature, we'll see. Investigations by the CBC News and Toronto Star claim Ticketmaster recruits professional scalpers to expand its resale business and optimize pricing. Automated purchasing of tickets is prohibited by the terms of service, but a Ticketmaster sales rep is quoted as saying, quote, I have brokers that have literally a couple hundred of accounts. It's not something that we look at or report, end quote. The source said the resale division of Ticketmaster does not report users to the abuse division. Eddie Vedder was right. Ticketmaster sucks.
A division of Ticketmaster sucks. I mean, it's tempting to run with this and just, you know, and say Ticketmaster has been trying to fool us the whole time. And it does seem like the resale division is saying that. Like the undercover investigation found salespeople at Ticketmaster who are like, look, the abuse division, we don't talk to them. All right. So wink, wink, do whatever you want. We're not going to turn you in. If you get caught by them, though, it's out of our hands. Ticketmaster's official policies prohibit this sort of behavior, and the abuse division does try to crack down on it. But what is controversial here, despite all of that, is that you have a division that is kind of actively saying, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. If you can get away with it, great. We won't tell on you.
Look, Ticketmaster, talk about a brand that has been defined for many, many years. Ticketmaster's a brand that people don't look at kindly between the fees and exclusive windows and when people are able to buy stuff. I joke about Pearl Jam and Smashing Pumpkins and Louis C.K. and so many other artists trying to take things away from the Ticketmaster monopoly. But this is an industry that that was rocked by private resale of tickets with StubHub and similar communities. I'm not shocked that they are trying to control it as much as possible, nor am I shocked that this company that has a bad reputation has an element within them that is doing things that would earn one a bad reputation.
Yeah. And if you don't understand what we're talking about, on Ticketmaster, you can buy a ticket from someone or directly, you know, from the venue and then resell it. And what's going on is scalpers go in and automate bots to buy the tickets and then resell them. And they'll have hundreds of accounts to do this. So they if there's a limit on the amount of tickets per person, they can get around that and sell hundreds of thousands of tickets. Folks, if you want to get all the tech headlines each day in about 5 minutes, be sure to subscribe to dailytechheadlines.com. All right. I broke down the Amazon announcements into four categories. The first of the four is new versions of the classic Echo. Amazon announced the Echo Dot. By the way, we'll just say it right now. Everything's covered in fabric now. Everything looks like a Google Home. The new Echo Dot has a few fewer microphones, four microphones, but a supposedly improved sound quality. Prices of everything are also the same. They didn't raise the prices. The Echo Show is twice as big of a screen now, 10 inches, real-time Dolby processing, integrated Skype and Firefox, which I found interesting, and the Echo Plus, that's the one that has the built-in smart home hub, has a temperature sensor and, really interestingly, something called local voice control that lets you control your smart home devices even if your internet is down. It'll just use your local Wi-Fi network with a limited amount of voice recognition that's built in on the device itself rather than going through the cloud. What do y'all think of the new classic Echoes?
Well, you know, a new fabric design is sort of, I don't know, whatever. Apple does it as well, but it's a nice look. It's nice that we're getting new features for roughly the same prices on all these devices. And as far as the Echo Show having twice as big of a screen at 10 inches, unless you had like a tiny little space that you were trying to shove it into in your kitchen or something, I think that would be advantageous to most people who are looking for a video screen version of an Echo device.
That was the one thing I didn't like as much. And I don't think it's a bad feature, but I like my 5-inch Echo. It fits Echo Show because
sure.
It fits where I have it really well. I wouldn't want a 10-inch one there. So kind of sad to see they don't have a 5-inch and a 10-inch available, but whatever. That's fine. Justin, anything else on these?
Amazon knows the spoilers. They know what sells. They know why it sells. They know what consumers want because they're the ones selling them. They sell probably the most amount of Google Homes because they sell Google Homes on Amazon. So if fabric is the order of the day, that's the order of the day. I like the Echo Plus, though. That's one of the things that I found out with an internet outage yesterday, how much my smart home completely goes from, 60 to Amish. There is any kind of outage. So I'm happy to see that.
All right. Let's talk about their high-end audio announcements. The Echo Sub is a 100-watt bass subwoofer that is able to pair with an Echo. It doesn't work on its own. So add some bass to your Echo sound. Or if you have two Echoes, you can now pair all three of them together and have stereo sound with the subwoofer. They're also opening up their multi-room music feature to all devices for free, starting with the Polk command bar later this year. There's also the Echo Link amp and the Echo Link that have a built-in, well, the amp has a built-in 60-watt two-channel amplifier, and they both have higher quality audio than the Echo Dot provides. So you can get digital and analog inputs and outputs. The Echo Link is basically the same thing without the amp. And then there's the Echo Input, which is kind of the opposite side of the Dot. So you have the Echo Link that's like, hey, want better quality audio than the Dot? Go with this one. There's the Echo Input, which has no speaker at all. It's just line out and Bluetooth. And Amazon says they're going to partner with existing speaker makers, starting with Bose, to bundle these in. So you buy a Bose speaker and you can put a few of these around and have them connect by Bluetooth and one of them by line. And now suddenly that speaker becomes throughout the home, sort of, at least controllable.
I love this stuff personally, but these are the conversations that I have with a lot of my friends where people are just like, I don't know, it's audio. Can I just plug it into the wall and it just sort of like play my music? This is more of a, like sort of audiophile, want to tinker around. Most people don't even know what a subwoofer is or why it would help. And certainly amplifiers, go into that category as well. This sounds great to me. The prices are low and it's wonderful. However, it's all about the setup process, because if it's complicated setup, you're not going to get casual audio listeners interested in most of this stuff, in my opinion.
We're this is going to also be my commentary for the next few things, so just go ahead and copy and paste. So I don't have to say because we have a million products to get through. Christmas time is here. They want you to think of the music lover in your life, and they want a very affordable $100.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Claude 3 model family from Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. With models at every point on the price-performance curve, you no longer have to make trade-offs between intelligence, speed, and cost. Claude 3 Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence, Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed, and Haiku is the fastest and lowest cost model in the market, perfectly designed for high volume, high speed use cases. Join the thousands of enterprises who trust Anthropic to keep them at the frontier. Visit anthropic.com/Claude today.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Stripe Tap to Pay on iPhone came along and changed everything. With Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. No more juggling different methods. Just a simple tap on my iPhone and transactions are complete. What's truly remarkable is how Stripe caters to all my customers' preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Stripe ensures a smooth checkout experience every time. Setting up Stripe was a breeze, taking just minutes to get up and running. From local markets to global retailers, Stripe helped me expand my reach and grow my business with ease. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Around $100 to $200 to $300 device, depending on how much you love them, that you can say, hey, look, here's a new functionality to your already existing set of speakers, or here's a way that you can bring, this is for your audiophile, a member of your family that you want to buy a reasonably priced gift for.
That is the theme of this announcement, which is we are putting our voice assistant in everything. And the knock on the Echo has been not a great speaker. Well, guess what? We put a subwoofer to make it a better speaker. And if you're really into high-end audio and you're like, I would never give up my high-quality speakers, we got an answer for you there, too. What if you want a DVR over the air? Well, they got an answer for that. Here's a bunch of their home announcements. Fire TV Recast is essentially a Tableau or a home run. If you know what those products are, then you know that what you do is you plug an antenna into the Recast, the Fire TV Recast in this case, and put it wherever the signal's best in your house. And then it will use your Wi-Fi network to send all the DVR recorded content and live over the air to your device over your home Wi-Fi, or you can access it over the internet as well. And that is available for the Fire TV, the Echo Show, the Echo Spot, or iOS and Android. So that's interesting because it's turning your Echo Show into a television now. And it has two versions, two tuners and 500 gigabytes for $229, or a terabyte and four tuners for $279. Amazon also announced a smart plug, which is like every other smart plug. It can, through an app or through voice control, turn whatever's plugged into it on or off by giving it power or taking the power away. And it can be scheduled to turn things on or off. But this one is also hubless. So you don't need to have a smart hub to make it work, unlike some of the others. But it's $125. All right, there's also the Ring stick-up cam, which is not, as they joked in the Verge story about pointing a gun at you. It just means you can stick it anywhere, which lots of these cams could already be done. So this one can be battery powered or wired. The Echo Wall clock, I know, is Roger's favorite because it's a wall clock that can set alarms like that one and can show you the progress of timers as well as the current time. And it has microphone in it, so it's a full on Echo. Then there's the Home Basics microwave, which does not have a microwave. Or it does not have a microphone in it, but it is a microwave. You have to have an Echo to control it. But it does have a dash button built in meant to help you order microwave popcorn, or it can just keep track of your popcorn usage and order it automatically when it knows you're out. That one's $60. And then a couple of technologies that go along with this stuff. Wi-Fi simple setup is using Wi-Fi lockers to store your Wi-Fi credentials and then share them when you add a compatible smart home device to your network. TP-Link and Eero are their first partners there. And there's the Alexa Connect Kit. That's what turned the microwave into a device that works on the network. And that includes a module with Bluetooth LE and Wi-Fi that companies can put in devices to make them smart. And they're trying to get other companies to pick that up. All right. So lots of home stuff here. I think the most ridiculous one is the electric plug for $129. But what do you guys think?
I think that that's high price, but that's for a very specific use case. My guess is that they are looking at other products like that and they're saying, okay, if you have a need to do it, then this is for, you know, your beach home or something, or people who are renting their houses out on Airbnb and they want to.
Echo Plus is $149. It's only like $25 more to get a thing that then you can go buy the $15, $20 plugs and use those.
I'm only giving Amazon credit for being price smart on this because of what I'm going to talk about next.
All right.
Wall clock is the stocking stuffer of 2018. I can't imagine anything else being more of a, I have no idea what to get somebody. $30. It looks impressive. It can hang anywhere. It does some of the stuff that is popular elsewhere. And if you already are in that ecosystem, here's another place for it. I also think that the microwave, as silly as that sounds, and as much as we can make fun of, do we really need it on a microwave?
Yes.
For $60, if you're looking to buy a microwave and it's that or a comparably priced $60 microwave, which is about what they cost, but that doesn't have that functionality, you're going to go for that functionality.
I'd love to know how many people who get the Amazon wall clock in their stocking, if it even fits in there, are like, oh, but I don't have an Echo device. And they're like, the person giving them is like, well, shoot. Okay, I kept my receipt. Because
the wall clock doesn't need another Echo device. It's the microwave that needs another Echo device.
The wall clock does. It connects to an Echo device via Bluetooth.
Uh-oh. Debate.
All right. You may be right. All right. We'll hold that over. I thought the wall clock had the voice built in, but I could be wrong about that. One you can't get yet either. So we can't.
Right.
There's very limited information about it. But yeah, if you buy somebody the microwave too, right? If you buy somebody something that doesn't.
Sarah's right. It does not have Alexa built in.
If you buy somebody that doesn't have Alexa built in and they don't have an Echo, well, then you're going to have to buy them an Echo too.
This is the gift you get that you got the Echo for them last year.
Right. That's my father-in-law.
That's my father-in-law. All your father-in-laws.
So yeah, wall clock, don't buy it. All right, let's talk about the I'm sorry, you can't buy it yet, but maybe you can buy it later. All right, let's talk about the car. Echo Auto, I think maybe more confounding to me than the electric outlet. Echo Auto connects to a car through Bluetooth or an audio jack, uses your phone for connectivity and as a display, so you need your phone, but there you go. You can technically put Amazon Voice in your car. Amazon also introduced something I think is a cooler thing, which is guard mode for your Echo devices. It detects the sound of breaking glass or a fire or CO2 alarm, will then record a clip of that sound and send it to your phone so you know what's going on. And it can even integrate with security companies, including Amazon's own Ring, but also ADT. And it can do things like randomize the lights going on and off to simulate you being home. It's a cool little function of the existing Echoes. There's also something called Hunches, where it will use some neural networks to try to guess what you're doing and say, hey, you left the porch light on. Did you mean to do that? Or, you know, I think the door is still unlocked. Do you want me to lock that before you go to bed? Stuff like that. And then for parents, the FreeTime service on voice-powered devices now supports routines. So the routines like good night, you can now have them for the FreeTime service for your kids. There's a whisper back function. So when you whisper to the Echo, it knows you whispered and it's like, oh, okay, I'll keep it down. And it gives you a whisper back. Fast thoughts on this before we move on.
Yeah, these are all, I think that they are also taking either other products that they see so well or functionalities that they are looking to serve, and they're putting their own product out on it. Again, this is not a guess for Amazon. They know what products sell. They know that that we have been covering literally every device has some kind of voice assistant built into it, and many of them are Amazon. So this is them putting it into it. I actually do think that the car thing is a smart idea.
But just use your phone.
It's not always on, though.
You have to have your phone on to use this thing. So if your phone's not on, then that thing doesn't work. Huh?
You have your phone in your pocket. You mean you can't like click the? I don't know.
You need the phone screen to use maps on this thing anyway. You're going to pull it out of your pocket.
I have had friends of mine buy devices, buy a dash cam just so it could have Echo voice assistant built into it.
Also, I want to apologize for Sarah for correcting her when she wasn't wrong and criticize Amazon for calling something an Echo when it didn't have voice built in.
Don't worry about it. You know, we won't apologize to is our Reddit community because they're the best. Thank you to everybody who participates in our subreddit. You can submit stories and vote on them at dailytechnewsshow.reddit.com. And if you prefer Facebook or if you like both, great. Facebook.com/groups/dailytechnewsshow is where you can find us there.
Onward to the mailbag.
Onward. This one comes from Ryan, the DJ, who suggested OmniCharge for frequent travelers who need their gear charged. And this was actually in response to Chris Christensen's amateur traveler tip from the other day. Ryan says, first model that I'm suggesting from OmniCharge uses a 20,000 milliamp battery with two USB ports, a regular wall plug for charging laptops and small appliances and all the good stuff. You know, because when you take your small appliances with you on the road, which you might, no judgment. The next version includes USB-C for more complimentary laptops. The current model is in its Indiegogo campaign, so it's still trying to raise money, featuring a 40,000 milliamp battery, which could be swapped out on the fly so you don't have to keep recharging the power pack out in the field if it dies. Ryan says, I took the Type-C version to a conference with me in July. I was able to get through pretty long conference days with my Surface Book 2, my iPhone 7 Plus, hotspot, and the mobile power pack. Didn't have to bring a single power supply with me to the conference center. Ryan, I'm with you on this.
I have this.
The fewer cables, the better. Oh, you do?
I have it, and I love it, and it's got a regular old outlet on it, and it can get me about 20 from a dead laptop. It can get me about a 25% charge on my MacBook, which is if folks have
in
been
in a pinch, yeah, that's huge.
It is the difference between sitting at the coffee shop that you want or trying to go to somewhere else where you can get by the outlet. It is freedom that unlocks part of your world. Fan of the OmniCharge.
And Insta correction as well. Thanks to another Jay Martin in the Discord. The Amazon smart plug is only $25. Now, The Verge, TechCrunch, many of the outlets out there that we rely on all said 125. So at some point, somebody told them 125. Maybe that was like a four pack or something. I don't know. But when you go to Amazon now and you look at the smart plug, it's $25. So that changes my opinion of it entirely. This is a great thing. This is another stocking stuffer here.
Does not need a hub. Stocking stuffer. Man, well, the record for the shortest stocking stuffer of the year reign for the Amazon wall clock. Champion. It's the Amazon plug.
Our email address is feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com.
Let's say goodbye to Justin Robert Young first.
Oh, sorry about that. Justin, thank you.
Thank you.
You've been wonderful today. I let folks know what you've been up to since Monday.
Oh, you better believe it. Man, all sorts of political news. Where are you going to get it? I mean, from a newspaper? Well, what are they? What is this? Ancient times? Why don't you go ahead to my newsletter? It's free. You can go to the free political newsletter. Actually, not the, just freepoliticalnewsletter.com. You can sign up for it every weekday, 5 stories and a funny video. Man, the campaign videos have been coming hot and heavy, and there have been some doozies this week that people have gotten on freepoliticalnewsletter.com.
Go check it out. Thanks to everybody who supports us on Patreon. We are very, very close, and we just need a handful more. If you are on the fence, be like Ryan the DJ, who became a patron of DTNS finally. Thank you, Ryan, for not only sending us great feedback on the battery, the portable battery charger, but also becoming a patron of DTNS. Join Ryan right now. He put it off for a long time. You don't have to. You can make it right now at patreon.com/DTNS.
Our email address is feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com. Love your feedback. Keep it coming. We're also live Monday through Friday. If you can join us, 4:30 p.m. Eastern, 20:30 UTC, put it on your calendar and find out more at dailytechnewsshow.com/live.
Back tomorrow with Shannon Morse and Len Peralta. Talk to you then.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
Hi, this is Janice Torres from Yo Quiero Dinero. From a local business to a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America gives your operation access to exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America N.A. Copyright 2024.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.